there, theme park fans. Welcome to Nuts About Theme Parks, the weekly theme park podcast where we talk about all the week's theme park news in a little bit more detail than my minute-long theme park news in a nutshell video. Who am I? I'm Dan from themeparknut.com, and yes, as I said, every week you can catch me on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram doing all of the week's theme park news in just under a minute, but in this podcast we like to take a little bit more time, run through those news headlines, and just have a general chat about them. So let's dive into it. This week we've got surprisingly a lot of SeaWorld news. The SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment Group in the US, apparently this is their big week to announce stuff. I don't know why. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's just we don't know yet, so we're just gonna run through a few little bits and pieces. First off, SeaWorld Orlando announced that they're gonna get a new ride for 2024 called Penguin Trek. So this is going to be the park's eighth roller coaster, and it's going to be a snowmobile-styled car in the roller coaster. It's going to be built by Bollinger and Mallard, which their latest rides that were similarly snowmobile-type rides were all built by Intamin. So it's interesting that it's going to be a B&M ride this time. So that'll be good, though, because they do really need roller coasters in the Orlando park. It's not so much an animal park anymore, as it is a themed roller coaster park, particularly when you're competing against Universal and Disney. It's very hard to do much else. SeaWorld in San Diego is getting a new exhibit. It's going to be a jellyfish exhibit called Jewels of the Sea, the Jellyfish Experience. It's going to feature three galleries in which you can see moon jellyfish, Pacific sea nettles, upside down jellyfish, and comb jellyfish. For locals here in Australia, this will be very similar to our jellyfish exhibit at SeaWorld, probably a bit larger, obviously. Where I must admit, the upside down jellyfish, while they're weird, is the most boring part of that whole attraction. SeaWorld San Diego do a similar thing where they use mirrors and tanks the same way that SeaWorld Australia, which by the way is completely unrelated to SeaWorld in the US, just happens to have the same name. If they do a similar thing with mirrors and things like that, it can be really, really effective because that's a really good attraction in a very small space at SeaWorld on the Gold Coast in Australia. So that's a win, hopefully, for SeaWorld San Diego. A loss this week, though, for SeaWorld San Antonio, which has confirmed that its new Catapult Falls ride will not open this year as it was originally planned to. The park announced that the launched Flume coaster will open next spring. And they basically said, look, we're trying to build something that's, you know, first of its kind. It's going to be launched. It's going to have the steepest drop, I think, of a Flume coaster. I think that's still true. But it's a one-of-a-kind ride. They're obviously having some issues with constructing it, so it's a little bit delayed. So they popped that news out with all the positive announcements this week. The parent company of the SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment filed a US trademark application this week as well for the name Phoenix Rising, which it's going to use for entertainment in the nature of an amusement park ride. Now, this is probably not for a SeaWorld park. Best guess would be Busch Gardens in Tampa, which is also owned by the SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment Group. They previously had a Starship Looper ride that was called Phoenix, so perhaps they're going to get another one of those or a similar version of ride that they're going to use the same name for. So there you go, Phoenix Rising, probably coming to Busch Gardens sometime in the next year, year and a half. Elsewhere in the US, Utah's Lagoon theme park has opened a new interactive dark ride coaster hybrid called Primordial this week. It's one of these new kinds of rides, which is, you know, a number of show scenes that then goes off into sort of an outdoor coaster. This is one of the bigger ones. It's bigger than some of the other hybrid coaster rides that have come out in recent years. I think Canada's Wonderland had one that was a similar type of model, but with a smaller coaster component. This has got quite a large coaster component. So, yeah, it looks like an interesting ride if you're in Utah. Don't know why anyone would be in Utah, but if you are in Utah, I would check it out. Elsewhere in the world, there was a few things happening. In Japan, government officials from Yokohama have announced plans for a new theme park to be constructed from scratch on a former U.S. military base in the system. The Yokohama city government has selected the Mitsubishi Estate, which is part of the Mitsubishi Group, to develop the project with the goal to open in 2031. I love how far Japan plans ahead. I recently saw a YouTube video about how they're getting rid of all of their toll roads on all of their interstate. Interstate is probably the wrong word for Japan, but inter-prefecture highways. A lot of them have toll roads at the moment, so they've outlawed them as of 2150 or something ridiculous like that. It's going to take like 120 years for them to get rid of all these toll roads, but eventually they'll be illegal, so good on Japan. Anyway, back to this new theme park. It's at the moment tentatively being called Kamiseya Park. It's going to be 127 acres, and they are projecting that it will make 12 million visitors a year for its first year and then increase to 15 million visitors a year. Now, for context, that would put it in the top 10 of theme parks worldwide, which, it, let's say, is ambitious because, yes, the Tokyo area has two theme parks that are of that size, the Tokyo Disney and Land and Tokyo Disney Sea, and of course Universal Studios Japan is also about that size. They're all top 10 worldwide theme parks in terms of attendance. So it's not unheard of for Japan theme parks to have this many people coming, but they've got to put something pretty good in because there's a lot of other theme parks in Japan that are very popular but do not attract 12 million visitors a year. So they're being ambitious, and unless there's secretly another, like unless this is going to be a universal park or something like that, that's just, you know, they're not advertising it as Universal Studios Yokohama or anything like that. They just want to get it under construction first before they announce that. I can't imagine it's going to get that many visitors. So we'll see. Maybe there's some other IP associated with it that they're going to build and have a massive theme park attached to. But at the moment, yeah, I'd be surprised if that did get the amount of visitors, but I definitely think it'll get built. The fact that they've announced it, it'll get built. It might take longer than 2031, but it will happen because that's how Japan tends to work. Elsewhere in the world, IAPA Expo Europe opened this week in Vienna. There wasn't a whole lot of news out of the European Expo. The European Expo doesn't get as much fuss as the American one, certainly, and the Asian one's a little bit noisier. But at the Expo, Zamperella, the ride manufacturer, did reveal two new products, the Magic Bikes XL and the GoGo Bounce 8.4, which are sort of versions of their existing rides. But the Magic Bikes XL is an expansion of their Magic Bikes ride, which, again, for locals who know SeaWorld Australia, is very much the Donatella's flying bikes. What's it called? Donatella's Flyers, I think. That you basically go around on a bicycle and pedal and go around. Well, this Magic Bikes XL would have four people per carriage instead of two, basically. Those Magic Bikes are also popular as Merlin's Apprentice rides at the various Legoland parks and Legoland Discovery Centers around the world. So you may see these new products popping up in places like that. They're spinny flat rides, which is what Zamperella is actually really, really good at. Just because I can't not talk a little bit about Disney, we did get a little bit of news out of Walt Disney World this week. They've announced some hotel discounts for the first few months of 2024, up to like 30%, depending on where you are in those first few months. Obviously not for the weekend where there's a marathon race going on at Disney World. They've excluded that from all their sales, but for the rest of those first 3 months, you can get some pretty good discounts at some of their resorts over there. And finally, Disney, the company, has filed a number of patent applications this week that relate to theme parks, including one which is basically for a specific type of ride system. The title of it is Systems and Methods for Transferring a Passenger Compartment Between Ride Systems Using a Robotic Tool Changer, which sounds fancy, but essentially it's like a ride container on a conveyor belt that can be picked up and moved by like a KUKA arm or something like that onto a different ride conveyor belt and continue on riding, which, look, there could be uses for in a number of the Disney IPs. You know, it could be a Toy Story or I've seen Toy Story 2 conveyor belt type rides. I've seen people talking about the Monsters, Inc. Door rides might have something that connects to that, but who knows what kind of future ride system we might get that involves this particular patent. But it sounds really interesting. They've also got another one for the procedural animation engine and editor for a sample-based design of stylized walking gates for bipedal robots. So what does that mean? That means they want a way to train a robot that walks on two legs, bipedal, right, to walk like a specific character. So they can show it samples and it'll learn to be able to walk like the samples that are provided to it. So that's kind of cool because we are seeing more of that robotic and semi-robotic walking robots around the park. So, you know, some of the big suits that have sort of legs and various bits and pieces that are robotic. So I think, yeah, look, Disney's always doing some pretty cool stuff under the covers, but it's always nice to get a little bit of a glimpse at what their patent applications include. So that's it for this week's Nuts About Theme Park podcast. You can catch up with us on Instagram or Threads at Theme Park Nut Insta, or you can check us on X, where we are at Theme Park Nut, or you can just go to our blog, at which is themeparknut.com. As always, you can check us on TikTok or YouTube at Theme Park Nut as well. So have a great week, and until next week, we will see you later.